This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to the folks who joined us yesterday for the Bankroll promotion here at the Clubhouse Racebook on Queen's Plate Day. Concentrated most of the action on Woodbine. Everybody walked away with a little bit of money, hit a little something early on. But boy, we were alive. The early pick four, we were alive to five horses. Well, four of them for the pick four, and one of them for a pick three, kind of a backup. Just could not get through that leg. And the horse, so we didn't have the horse that won the final leg. The horse that ran second was a $675 pick four ticket for the group, and just five horses and couldn't get past. We had backed up though with that horse that won going into a favorite in the next race with a double. The favorite gets all bollocked up in traffic and runs second, so we missed there. We had tickets that were live and were good, and we're gonna work out nicely for the bankroll. And Woodbine yesterday just had some kind of screwy results, including, we'll look in a minute, at the Queen's Plate as well. The late pick four and pick five were very tough to hit. Took a couple of little swings at Kentucky Downs. And the Kentucky Downs meet I have found very difficult. But the stakes races yesterday, and we'll take a look at those as well in a moment, were kind of formful. All the horses that won were squarely in my mix, so maybe I should have gone over and taken a look at that, although it didn't. The payoff wasn't off the charts or anything. But, again, as they say, a little more formful on the stakes action yesterday in Kentucky Downs than it has been for me over the first few days of the meet. And speaking of Kentucky Downs, they have postponed today's card. If you were watching yesterday, the last five, six races maybe, you could see the rain coming down. They were supposed to have, I think, a little more rain today. So they took today's card and postponed it until Tuesday, but left it intact. So if you printed up the PPs, I think the PPs are all still going to be good to go on Tuesday. And speaking of that, at the 10:40 mark, we'll be joined by Joe Christofek. Usually we talk to Joe about Churchill Downs, paddock commentator at Churchill, but I know he's been handicapping for Kentucky Downs during their meet, so I thought the more the merrier, the more brain power on Kentucky Downs, the better, because again, it is very tough. You get big, full, competitive fields. They're coming in from all over because of the money that is offered. A lot of folks that have dirt horses say, I'll try the turf for $100,000 for, an allowance event or a maiden event. So it's been tough, and as I say, the more the merrier as far as the meeting of the minds. And so I reached out to Joe early yesterday and said, hey, you want to come out and take a look at some of the Sunday races at Kentucky Downs? He said, sure. And then they came out with that announcement at the end of the day. And I got back in touch with Joe and said, why don't we just continue on? We'll handicap the races. It's just we're looking now at races that'll be Tuesday instead of this afternoon. So again, Kentucky Downs, if you're enjoying playing that, today's card has been moved intact to Tuesday, but we'll talk to Joe a little bit later about that. Prior to that, we're going to do a little handicapping. Today's racing action, there's no racing in New York, there's no racing in Southern California, so a little bit of a different schedule anyway, but without Kentucky Downs in the mix, we pulled Will Rogers in, but we also have Woodbine, Monmouth, and Gulfstream Park. And for my handicapping segment, I took a look at the early pick five today at Woodbine. So that'll come up in the next segment. We'll start things out as usual with some stakes recaps. I say as usual, this is the first time we're back in the studio for a Racing Across America on a Sunday since the Saratoga meet started. So we're just kind of kicking back into our usual Sunday schedule. But again, before I move on, thanks to the folks who popped into the race book yesterday for the bankroll event. Nice little crowd yesterday. Had some folks come up and introduce themselves, say hello, or some regulars who came over and commented on handicapping during the afternoon. It was a fun day down here at the Clubhouse Racebook. And speaking of that, today's the first day of the return of NFL Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. You can come down, you can watch all the racing action, all the football action, put your name on the squares. So at the quarter, the half, and the final scores, you have a chance to win some prizes. Always a lot of fun here at the Clubhouse Racebook during the NFL season, which is underway. And our first NFL Sunday of the season today, this afternoon, stop on down, Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, let's take a look at some of that stakes action as promised. And let's start out. As I said yesterday, we're kind of concentrating with the bankroll a little bit on Woodbine, which, again, we came close. Later in the day, it became a little more difficult because it was, you know, you look at the late pick five, and you can see that folks were struggling a little bit coming up with some of the winners later in the day. And one of the races where that played out was the Queen's Plate. Favorite in the Queen's Plate was number 10, Curlin's Voyage. Went off at 5-2. Clayton, Curlin's Voyage, number 10. Clayton, the number 12. Wound up running third, second choice. Those were two logicals. This actually played out a little bit like the Kentucky Derby. Mighty Heart took the lead, got to the top of the stretch, and just pulled away. And the fractions were reasonable. 23 and change, 47 and change, 112 and change, 137 and change for the mile, 201, just under 202. For the mile and a quarter, but that is Mighty Heart getting it done, the number 13. Belichick, the number 3, runs second. Clayton, as I say, second choice, runs third. Tecumseh's War, 14, fourth. And the favorite, number 10, Curlin's Voyage, runs fifth. And it may have been a situation like the Kentucky Derby normally is in May, where we talk about who's going to get the distance, because it seemed like some of the logicals in here, Clayton, Curlin's Voyage, maybe the mile and a quarter just didn't play into their wheelhouse, certainly not as well as it did into Mighty Heart's wheelhouse. Mighty Heart 13-1, Belichick 26-1, and again, Clayton running third as the 3-1 second choice. So there was a logical kind of up in the mix. But it was Josie Carroll, Josie Carroll. And interestingly, you don't normally see this kind of other situation, but we talk about it all the time. A trainer has a favorite, and then the other horse gets it done. Well, Josie Carroll had Curlin's Voyage. Again, the 5-2 favorite who wound up fifth. But not only does the other get it done, the other comes in underneath in the exacta. It was a Josie Carroll exacta without her favorite, her trainee, the favorite, Curlin's Voyage. Mighty Heart, 13-1. Belichick, 26-1. They complete for a dollar a $365 exacta for a buck. So clearly you were well over $700 for a $2 exacta going with the other Josie Carrolls. Fukumoto was the winning jockey. This was his first Queen's Plate mount. And if you were watching yesterday on Racing Across America, we were joined by Ron Gierkink, a friend from Woodbine, covering Woodbine for the Daily Racing Forum, and we were talking a little bit about the human side of things at this meet, and he specifically mentioned Fukumoto, who the last couple of seasons as we've been up there, that one in Kimura, coming over from, I think they're both from Japan, I believe, but the past couple of seasons they have been apprentices up there and going well. And now they're both journeymen and going well. And Ron yesterday specifically mentioned Fukumoto as having a very good season and being a jockey to watch. And a few hours later, gets his first Queen's Plate mount and his first Queen's Plate win aboard Mighty Heart. Mighty Heart, only one eye. Only needed one yesterday to get it done. The chart margin was 7.5. That was a pretty convincing victory. Belichick was clear by over two lengths from the third place finisher. Then they were a little more jammed up in the second or in the third, fourth, and fifth spots. But again, boy, it was tough to pull the trigger on Mighty Heart. Four starts so far in the career for Josie Carroll. Started the career in February down at the Fairgrounds. Followed that up and ran fourth, followed that up with an 11th place finish in a field of 14, but was placed 10th through disqualification. And then in the third career start, moved back up to Woodbine and broke the maiden on the synthetic, so appreciated the return north of the border, and then followed it up last time in an allowance event, running third. So one win in four career starts. Boy, it was tough to pull the trigger. And also, the race two back showed a little speed. Wasn't in front, but showed some speed. So the front running victory yesterday was a little bit of a change in tactics, but does get it done, and convincingly again with the chart margin. Seemed to appreciate the mile and a quarter. And both Fukumoto said, "Yeah, I thought I was going kind of fast." And trainer Josie Carroll was quoted after the race as saying, "Boy, I was looking at the fractions and it seemed to be fast. I was watching the fractions and thinking 23 and change, 47 and change, 112 and change. I thought this horse may be tough at the top of the stretch," and that's exactly the way it worked out. So Mighty Heart, with one eye, lives up to his name and gets it done in the Queen's Plate. First leg of the Canadian Triple Crown this year. As like our Triple Crown, things are juggled up a little bit. Ford Erie and the Prince of Wales, and then the Breeders' Stakes back at Woodbine will complete that. We'll see if Mighty Heart will make the attempt at that Canadian Triple Crown. The quotes I read last night from Josie Carroll and whatnot didn't make clear whether that was going to be the game plan to move on in that direction. But we will see. We will know sooner rather than later. I would think that question will at least be addressed over the next couple of days for the Queen's Plate runner. Missed being up there this year. It's always fun. They treat us very well. We've gone, the past 4 or 5 years probably to the Queen's Plate. And then typically also in another week we would be headed up for the Woodbine Mile. But we're going to miss, obviously, with the situation, both of those trips this year, unfortunately. But it was still fun to watch from afar. No fans on track, but it was a nice race, and congratulations to Josie Carroll. We typically interview her when we're up there. She's always fun to talk to. And as I say, the other Josie Carroll exacta. If you jumped on board that kind of side angle, you wound up getting paid off nicely in the Queen's Plate. One race earlier, it was the Canadian. We'll watch the stretch drive there. Yet another upset. As I say, the latter portion of the card featured that. Cambier Park went out for Chad Brown off the layoff. And you heard when I talked to Ron yesterday, he said, you know what, facing older for the first time and off the layoff, Cambier Park, you can see in the OXO red and white here on the rail, had the lead and is well clear of the rest of the field except for number four, Ride for the Cause. That one not only gets by Cambier Park, but wins pretty convincingly, chart margin of four lengths at 22-1. Goes out for trainer Gail Cox under jockey David Moran. And again, convincing. 22-1 with the rank outsider, longest price on the board. There was another 22-1 shot, but between the two, Ride for the Cause was the longest shot. There was a 30-1 shot that ran third, excuse me. So the second longest shot on the board. Cambier Park does hold on for a clear second in there. In the first start in of the season for Chad Brown. We'll see where they go with that. When I was, given the situation, it was an okay effort, but it was certainly a impressive effort for Ride for the Cause. That one, again, another one that would have been a little tough to pull the trigger. Won a optional claimer last time in the second start back at Woodbine. Had a couple of races this season already down at Gulfstream. They weren't much. Came up to Woodbine, ran fourth in June, and then won a race on August 1st. So maybe you could have made the case, seems to be maybe rounding into some decent form. Certainly appreciates Woodbine with three wins in four starts there. But if you're looking at the numbers were a little light as compared to this field, but does get it done, and as I say, gets it done for trainer Gail Cox, who I guess now we have to look at Gail Cox as a little bit of a potential upsetter on some of these stakes days, because if you remember when we were up there last year for the Woodbine Mile, Gail Cox got it done with El Tormenta at, I wrote it down, yeah, $91.40, finishing over Got Stormy in the Woodbine Mile last year. So Gail Cox, $91 last fall in the Woodbine Mile, and yesterday, $47.20 in the Canadian on the undercard of Queen's Plate Day. So as I say, Gail Cox, maybe worth taking a second look at if there's a big price on a big stakes day up there at Woodbine. All right, let's take a look at some of the Kentucky Downs action yesterday. As I said, I thought things played fairly formfully in the stakes races, which is interesting also given the situation with the rain in the day that the track clearly had to have a little bit of give to it, and that I'm sure played into some of the results and maybe played against expectations with the God Stormy race. We'll get to that in a little bit, though. We'll start things out and kind of work backwards on the stakes action. Stakes action ended with the turf sprint, and it was Impermis getting it done, number 9 over number 3 Front Run the Fed. Number 5 Bombard runs third. But a lukewarm 3-1 favorite was Impermis, and folks may remember up here at the Saratoga meet, Impermis had the DQ in the Troy the beginning of August or early in August. Kind of a controversial DQ. I liked Impermis that day, but it wasn't an egregious DQ, but it was a little bit controversial maybe. But you can see Impermis get up here, the number 9 horse. Chart Margin a neck over Front Run the Fed, the Klarovich Chad Brown runner. Impermis ridden by Irod Ortiz, and again a lukewarm 3-1 favorite. Gets it done with a nice kind of grinding run there. And you would think, you know, Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint probably sitting in the wheelhouse now, as this was just the second start back after last year's Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, where the horse ran sixth. Had run fourth in this race last year, Impermis. But again, looked pretty good in the seasonal debut in the Troy last time. But did get that DQ, won by a comfortable margin up here at Saratoga, but got DQ'd again. A little bit of controversy there, but makes up for that yesterday with a purse of $700,000. What was first value to first? $588,000. So kind of made up for the DQ in the Troy. Impermis in the turf sprint, which again, as I say, wound up the stakes action yesterday. And I should note, I wrote down the figures, it was a record-breaking day. Interesting, you know, it was one of those that, given the scenario this year, pandemic and how people are playing races, and with this year, the later start at Belmont, there was no New York racing yesterday. There was no Southern California racing yesterday. So Kentucky Downs set a single-day record. Their previous record for a single day was 11.3. Yesterday, 17.4. So just a 50%, more than a 50% kick up in the now, their previous record was on 10 race card. Yesterday was an 11 race card. But still, that's a significant. The one race does not account for a 50-plus rise in the handle. So it was a good day for Kentucky Downs yesterday, and congratulations to them. On people love turf racing, big competitive fields, and as I say, it was until yesterday's stakes action, it had been a little tough for me to jump in with much confidence. But again, it played out fairly logically yesterday, and I kicked myself after the Kentucky Turf Cup, because I've liked Arklow throughout the career, and I put him underneath. Arklow is going to win. I went with Zulu Alpha on top, and I debated. I went back and forth, and eventually put Zulu Alpha over Arklow. But Arklow, the number 5 horse, will get it done here at 5-1. Red Knight second. Zulu Alpha, the number 10, runs third. Eons fourth. Zulu Alpha went off as the 4-5 favorite But again, Arklow, a horse I've liked throughout the career, 5-1. You got a great price on Arklow for trainer Brad Cox. They put the blinkers on yesterday. Brad Cox out of the race said, "Man, we won't be taking those off anytime soon. Just look good." You can kind of see the rain in front of the camera there. That was kind of the situation, as I say, maybe the last four or five races of the card. So a little bit of giving the ground. What are they? They're listing it as soft on the chart, weather showery and soft. So Arklow seemed to like the going, added the blinkers yesterday. And Arklow versus Zulu Alpha, one of the follow-up articles I read, said they have faced each other 10 times and evened it up yesterday. 5-5 as far as who has finished in front of the other. Not necessarily winning, but finishing in front of the other. It's just in this day and age to have a couple of horses square off at the top end of the game 10 times like that is kind of interesting. And they, as I say, they're not always winning, but they're winning enough. Zulu Alpha coming off of into this race had won three of the last four and had just missed prior to that. So they're doing very well at the top level of the game. And as I say, to match up 10 times like that, finish in front of each other, split it up 5-5, kind of interesting there as well. Brad Cox, trainer of Arklow, nice little last 9 days, four graded stakes in the last 9 days. This race yesterday, the Kentucky Turf Cup, worth $1 million, and a few days back, the Kentucky Oaks with She Dares the Devil. So a nice little stretch for a trainer, Brad Cox. We always root for him. He's always very accommodating to us. Normally we'll swing him in up at Saratoga, but obviously with the situation this year, didn't get a chance to do that. I don't think he was in Saratoga at all this year that I know. Maybe there was a period where Brad came in and popped out, but again, didn't get a chance to get to him up there. But we will check in sooner rather than later, sometime here via phone or Zoom, as it were, with Brad. But again, he had a good little stretch over the past few days as far as graded stakes, including the $1 million Turf Cup yesterday. Juvenile Turf Sprint, it was Wesley Ward. Wesley Ward, exacta. I had this one with the 9 over the 10, and that's the way it came out. Out of door over Fauci, and you'll see number 9 out of door get it done. Length and 3/4 is the 9-5 favorite. Fauci, the second choice, at 2-1 runs second. Cowan runs third for Steve Asmussen. But out of door, coming off a nice little maiden breaker up at Saratoga, gets it done in a rich stakes race, $500,000 up for grabs yesterday. Fauci just kind of stuck in a little bit of a bridesmaid situation. Broke the maiden in the second career start at Keeneland, but other than that, 3 second place finishes. Last time in the Skidmore up at Saratoga, and then yesterday in the Juvenile Turf Sprint. Wesley Ward says he's going to aim for Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. How to get there? He's looking probably to split these two up. I'm looking at maybe a race at in New York for one and a race at Keeneland for the other to kind of prep for maybe Breeders' Cup starts. But he says probably keep these two apart at least in their next start. But out of door looked pretty good. Career start number 2, nice little rich stakes win. Fauci, as I say, talented. Now 4 starts, a win in 3 seconds. So Wesley Ward has a couple of good ones. But out of door, the better of the two yesterday, and man, might wind up being the better of the two as they go forward. As I say, Fauci just stuck in a little bit of a bridesmaid situation, at least over the first 4 starts of the career. We'll see if he can break out of that next time again, depending on which venue they choose to go with that one. A little bit earlier, the ladies' sprint. This one was interesting because Got Stormy was in here, and I've been a fan of Got Stormy, like most people probably. I mean, you know, particularly after last year and that performance in the 4-star Dave, the win in the Della Rose on August 3rd, 1 week later, August 10th up here at Saratoga, beats the boys in the 4-star Dave. The close-up second behind El Tormenta in the Woodbine Mile following that up, and then a second in the Breeders' Cup Mile behind Uni, won the Matriarch to end the year. This year was just a little more questionable. As a five-year-old mayor, I think people were thinking God Stormy might have lost a step. Started the season in the Endeavor down at Tampa and ran fourth. Went out to face the boys in the Kill Row, ran a close-up second behind River Boyne, who's a nice turf runner out in Southern California. The Bogey runs fourth. The Poker versus the boys runs fourth. But in the return to the four-star Dave last time, I thought the second behind Halliday right up here at Saratoga kind of signaled maybe. And if you listen to Mark Cassie, she just wasn't getting the kind of the tracks or the setup she wanted so far this year. That said, Mark Cassie has always said she kind of likes to rattle her feet. The four-star Dave last year was a nice hard track at Saratoga. And so given that she likes to rattle her feet, and the track yesterday, again, for this eighth race, also listed as soft, the post-race comments from Cassie and from Tyler Gaffleone were kind of, given the track condition, we weren't sure. But Got Stormy gets it done. We'll be the number eight horse here. Went off as the even money favorite. Winning Envelope, number 3 second. Into Mystic, number nine, runs third. But Got Stormy looks pretty good here. I mean, you can see there's a bunch of them all kind of bunched up there as they separate, as they get closer and closer. And she really pulls away nicely late. Chart margin again, 3 1/4. Got Stormy back in the winner's circle in 2020. And Mark Cassie, obviously, very happy with post-race comments. But what was more notable, again, given the situation, this was 6.5 furlongs. Mark says he may be pointing to the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint with Got Stormy. He says maybe the shorter distances will appeal to her. And given how she won and on a track that she probably didn't really relish, we'll see. It could be interesting if they do aim for the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint with God Stormy. But it was fun to see her get back to the winner's circle and do so pretty decisively. A nice little grade three event worth $500,000. So congratulations to the Cassie team and Tyler Gaffleone as well, getting it done yesterday in the ladies' sprint down at Kentucky Downs. I also pulled up a couple of races from last Sunday up at Saratoga, just because obviously being that they were Sunday races, we really didn't get a chance to look. Yesterday on the show, I took a look at Jackie's Warrior, who was just a really impressive winner of the hopeful. But we'll take a look at two of the races from Sunday, the Honorable Miss, and this is tough for me to look at again, because I had played the Sunday contest last week and I had a couple of doubles that would have moved me up the leaderboard significantly with the horses that ran second and third in here. But it's going to be number one, Come Dancing, getting back in the winner's circle in 2020 for Carlos Martin. Went off as a 6-5 favorite. I was maybe a little surprised there. Ladies Island for the Matisse Racing Clan runs second. And as I say, I used that one in the double. That's the 7 horse who is going to get it done for me. No, until Come Dancing breaks through. I had also used Blamed in my mix. She runs third. But Come Dancing under Irod Ortiz gets it done for Carlos Martin, as I say, to kind of get back on track after a fabulous season last year. Where really the only blemish on the record was the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. Other than that, she had a fabulous season, but came back this year and, they debuted down in the Apple Blossom and just didn't show much there. Had a little oomph in the Vagrancy 2 back down at Belmont, and the Ballerino winds up running fourth behind Serengeti Empress and Bellafina, but gets back on track last Sunday in the Honorable Miss with a nice win. As I say, I thought the two horses I was using in that contest were going to get up there, but then she comes and breaks through for her seasonal win, Come Dancing. And subsequently, Carlos Martin has said, potentially, I think the Gallant Bloom was on the schedule, potentially. But Carlos seemed to me maybe leaning towards training up to the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. So we'll see what is up next for Come Dancing. And finally, just wanted to look at the Spin Away again. We looked yesterday at Jackie's Warrior and the hopeful, but in the spin away the day before for the two-year-old fillies, Vyquist gets it done off a near miss in the first start of the career down at Parks. And Butch Reed was in the winner's circle afterwards, and he was kind of surprised, I think. I think he thought, this was a tough ask for a horse that was still a maiden to come up, try a grade one at Saratoga. But then I think he was very surprised by chart margin 9.5 lengths, a daughter of Nyquist, second career start. Again, in the near miss in the career debut, the number fired was okay. It was a 72. I should have looked up the buyer. It had to be much better than that for the follow-up. But boy, she looked great. I mean, she's going to be a two-year-old filly that is going to definitely be worth watching going ahead. Vyquist, Luis Saez on board, Butch Reed training, gets the job done last Sunday. We could go today in the spin away. All right, there's some of the stakes action over the last week, actually, but looking at yesterday, Woodbine and Kentucky Downs, and a couple from Saratoga towards the end of the meet, again, last Sunday. We'll take a break when we come back. Again, kind of take a zip through the early pick five at Woodbine in the handicapping segment a little bit later. We'll also be joined by Joe Kristofek for some ideas on Kentucky Downs. Again, today's card has been postponed until Tuesday, but the card remains intact. So we'll get some ideas for Joe on what was today's card, but now will be run on Tuesday. All that coming up a little bit later on. But right after this, a little handicapping for Sunday afternoon. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Stone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Baalbach. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Let's take a look at some of the action. And you know, again, we are today looking at Woodbine, Monmouth, Gulfstream later this afternoon. And Will Rogers Downs comes into the mix as well. No Southern California, obviously, or no New York, just because of the situation with the calendar. And again, Kentucky Downs postponed today's card until Tuesday. So a little bit different. So I looked at Woodbine for this afternoon in the handicapping segment, that early pick five. Don't forget, with the 20-cent increment, you can put an interesting ticket together. And if a clever horse or two get in there, it still pays decently. The second at Woodbine, maiden optional claimer, 5 furlongs. I have it 1, 2, 4, and 5 for my LB on top. 7-5 morning line favorite. Tried a stakes race last time, ran second. Comes off a couple of second place finishes, but moves back to the more proper maiden optional claiming level. Nero Davola, also coming off a couple of second place finishes and fairly similar company. Numbers are a little lighter for my L by, so the one is preferable. But you know, this one is maybe on the improve a little bit. Silent Name, good sire up there at Woodbine of some runners, and so with Stein on board, leading jock, and Silent Name on top, Living on Love in the mix, And Rose's soul was interesting to me. Nice little workout since the debut effort, which was in Maiden Special Company. I wouldn't be shocked if this horse moved forward a little bit in the next start. So, again, for me, 1, 2, 4, and 5 in that race 2. Race 3, more maidens. Maiden Special is going a mile on the turf. I have a 2, 7, 4, and 3. Master Spy is interesting. Again, Silent Name is one of those sires. There are some sires that just kind of, you have to parse them out a little bit north of the border, and Silent Name is one of those. There was a sibling called Wild Cat of Mine that won the first two starts. Sibling for, again, we're talking Master Spy, the number two horse. Another sibling called Cool Cat of Mine. This one was 7th, 3rd, 7th, and then won a couple of starts in the first five of the career. But that 5th start was the 2017 Prince of Wales. So there's some talent here for the Mark Cassie runner. There's also a little bit of ability shown already. Third in the career debut, and then tried a stakes race next time out and ran second there. Gets back to the maiden company. Master Spy looks kind of logical, but Correlate by Tisnow, the other Cassie runner. We talked already about the other runners today, you know, the longer half of the uncoupled entry. Ready Hero, interesting as well, maybe by More Than Ready. Kevin Attard, trainee, has the race under the belt to build on. And then Mount Logan, Barbara Minshall trainee, that a couple of seconds in the first two starts. I may have rated this one a little lower than is deserved. Again, the first two starts are pretty good. Number-wise, stack up nicely with those that have run. So for me, in the third, 2, 7, 4, and 3. Fourth race, this one, if you're playing a pick five, I'd probably be comfortable going too deep. I have a 3, 8, 4, and 2 in the fourth, but I could probably stick with the 3 and 8. Pipestone on top looks kind of logical for Stuart Simon. Gets some additional class relief. Same with Delightful Dreamer. And I think given the numbers these two have fired, and then that additional class relief, they're players in with this bunch this afternoon. All Eyes on Me showed some nice improvement in start number two. Excuse me, and another one that is getting some additional class relief that may move that one forward. So if you're looking for an alternative, that's a possibility. And Capable was claimed last time off a pretty good effort, but against a little bit lesser. So class-wise, I'm not totally convinced where this one might stack up. The races down at Gulfstream earlier this year against Maiden Special Company, though, were pretty good. I was a little bit, the trainer is not showing any stats. I think Capable, with Fukumoto, who we talked about earlier, could be an interesting player in here. I just wasn't quite sure with the scenario off the claim and class-wise. But in the, again, in the fourth, I'd probably be okay with the 3 and the 8, but I have a 3, 8, 4, and 2. Woodbine's fifth race could be one of the tougher races in this early pick five sequence. I went 4, 1, 15, 7, and 6. Again, the 15 is also eligible, so I would pull the 6 in if that one doesn't make it in. But the Rain Man goes out off a decent try against similar last time, dropped down to this level, ran an okay third with a number that's pretty good. There are some back numbers that are pretty good. I'll give this one another shot at this level at a 6-to-1 morning line price. Second slot, we will take a look at Dark Ale. A second last time, a win two back, a third in the first start of the season off a long layoff. So this is a horse that just came back from that long layoff, has kind of been bouncing around this kind of a level, and has been doing so competitively. So right back in the mix again today. And then first on the AE list, Silentium. So being first on the list, wouldn't shock me if this one got in. And if this one gets in, could be very dangerous. Given the numbers, the buyers, I think this horse fits squarely in with this crew. So again, Woodbine's fifth, 4, 1, 15, and 7. If that 15 doesn't make it in, take a look at the 6. And finally, to wrap up that early pick 5 in race 6, optional claimer starter allowance, I have a 6, 3, 5, and 7. Lepotchka on top, been facing similar over the past few starts and doing so pretty convincingly, winning 3 of those last 4, again, against similar company, so seems like a logical player again today. Black Sea, boy, there are back numbers that are pretty good. The seasonal debut did not match up to those. I'm willing to think maybe that's a little fitness builder, and maybe we rebound to some better numbers. If so, Black Sea belongs. And then Kids Mischief in the third spot with Hernandez on board for Norm McKnight. Last couple of starts, pretty good. Couldn't leave that one out of the mix. Justin Stein on Colton's Corner, the number seven, I also think could be a player in here. So I'd probably wind things up using all four. 6-3, 5-7 in the sixth. All right, there's a little look at the early pick five at Woodbine this afternoon. We'll take a closer look at that race by race as we get to OTB Live on Sunday afternoon in a couple hours. But right now, we'll take a break and shift our attention to what was the Sunday card at Kentucky Downs, but now we'll be moved to Tuesday. But we'll talk about that right after the break with our friend Joe Christofek. Stay tuned.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play. In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
The New York hero, Tiz the Law and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes.
When New York bred Tiz the Law won the 2020 Belmont Stakes, OTB TV was live with owner Jack Nolan to capture all the excitement.
And certainly seeing what he did today, we think a mile and a quarter is well within his range, and hopefully he can prove it at Saratoga Race Car.
For exclusive interviews and racing information, stay with Capital OTB and OTB TV and win more.
downs over the last few days of the meet, and so I thought we'd tap in and get some Sunday thoughts. But again, the Sunday card has been postponed because of weather until Tuesday, but the card stays intact, so I thought we would still get some thoughts and just use it on Tuesday. But Joe, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you, Seth?
Very good. Happy to have you on board to talk a little Kentucky Downs. And we will do that, but before we do that, as always, I wanted to talk a little Brilliant Racing, and I pulled up going back to a September 1st Champions Day marathon down at Churchill. Number five will be Eskin Fort, who I thought ran very well as the rank outsider in here. Gets a third place finish in the nice stakes race down at Churchill again on September 1st. Talk a little bit about Eskin Fort and the stakes race, and get us up to date on Brilliant Racing.
Yeah, well, we were hoping that we would get a short field, which we did. It scratched down to five. And we were honestly just using the race as a bridge to the October 8th mile and a quarter starter race at Keeneland. So didn't want to put him back in a claiming race. Still eligible for that non-winners at three. We've always known, I mean, he's a track record holder at a mile and 3/16ths, that the horse wants distance. We just haven't been able to find a race more than a mile and a 16th for him. So we found this race at a mile and a half. He ran his eyeballs out. We're very proud of him. It almost felt like we won the race. And it should set him up perfectly for the 25,000 starter going a mile and a quarter on October the 8th at Keeneland. So that was always the goal. We picked up, I don't know, 11, 12 grand by running third. And yeah, he got some black type and he moved over 100 grand for his career. So very proud of the horse.
Nice. He's been fun to watch throughout the career. You have some other horses. You have anything coming up other than him?
Well, we had Yes's Ginger run last Wednesday at Kentucky Downs. She battled a really fast pace and faded to seventh, but she only got beat 3 3/4 lengths, and she just needs to go shorter. I mean, with that run-up, that distance is about 7 furlongs on the turf. She's more of a 5, 5.5 furlong horse, so we'll regroup with her. She had won 2 in a row previous to that. And the next starter we're going to have is a first-timer by Distorted Humor for Steve Margolis. By the name of Man on the Moon, he had the best workout he's had to date just last week. We think he's going to be a distance horse, 2-turn horse, but we're going to get him started at 7 furlongs. I believe it's the third week in September at Churchill. So Man on the Moon, that'll be our next starter. And again, tempered expectations for the first race, but we think he's got a bright future moving forward.
And again, you guys have a nice website. Check out Google Brilliant Racing, and you'll find it and get more info. I know there are some local folks involved. Always like to root for your horses. So again, good luck going forward as well. Let's talk a little Kentucky Downs. I showed the stakes action yesterday, and get some of your opinions. A, it was great to see Got Stormy get back into the winner's circle, particularly, and I mentioned because I looked at the quotes from the following the race. You know, Mark Cassie always says she likes her feet to rattle a little bit. That wasn't the situation yesterday, but boy, she won like a champ. It was good to see her get back in the winner's circle. I've always been a fan of Arklow. To get 5-1 there was great. Impermis kind of gets back on track after a little bit of a controversial DQ up at Saratoga. And the two Wesley Ward runners, Out of Door and Fauci, look good in the juvenile turf sprint.
Yeah, it's funny because Wesley Ward's dominating some of these maiden races and the stake races for the younger horses, and Maker's doing all of his damage, mostly with the, allowance types and the older divisions and some of those stakes, obviously, as well. Huge day for him on Saturday with the 4 wins, and then Irad and Jose and Tyler just dominating on the jockey side. Yeah, I mean, it was good to see Got Stormy win, unless you bet winning envelope like I did, who ran a good second behind her. But she's supposed to beat those horses. And again, you start to question the will to win when those mares get to be a little bit older. And she was dominant yesterday, improved her class. And I guess Mark will probably keep her maybe a little bit shorter moving forward because she looked great. And then I ran into Brad earlier in the day, and he was very confident with Arklow, especially after it started raining. You know, he had said he wants them given the ground. This is a good situation for us. And I thought it was kind of a desperation move that he was putting blinkers on. I said, Brad, what about the blinkers? And he just looked at me. He said, they can't hurt. And they certainly didn't, because it put him up close in the race when he's usually more out the back. And it made the other horses try to catch him than him try to catch the other horses in the last, you know, quarter or eighth of a mile. So big effort from Arklow, and got the jump on Zulu Alpha, who also ran well, but it was too little too late.
Yeah, I read post-race comment from Brad Cox where he said, yeah, the blinkers are staying on for a while now.
Yeah, right on.
Certainly looked good yesterday. As I said, I liked them all along. And I used Zulu Alpha on top over Arklow yesterday. Played a little Arklow because, again, at the 5-1, but I was just kind of kicking myself that I didn't put the horse on top. What's the situation, just out of curiosity, as far as, you know, fans and whatnot down at Kentucky Downs at the meet?
Well, there are no fans, but they are allowing owners, and basically every trainer of a horse gets a table of six. That includes a trainer. So you're basically allowed five owners. It was very light attendance-wise on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then yesterday, you know, the 10th at least had, you know, I would say 60 or 70% of the tables filled. They're doing a great job with it. I mean, the way I look at it, Seth, and I know, you know, Churchill handled it this way during the Derby week, and I'm expecting much of the same, hopefully, for the upcoming remainder of the September meet. You know, if the fans can't enjoy it, allow the owners to enjoy it. Allow the owners to bring extra people, even if they get to bring a couple of friends. Give an owner a table of six or two tables of six to enjoy the experience. Like in our group, we've got 45 owners. You know, we had two tables. Luckily enough, we were supposed to get, you know, just one, but we were able to secure a second table, and they all enjoyed the experience. And, you know, they put a lot of money into this game, and they love the game, you know, as much, if not more than anybody, because they're investing in it, and they love the fact that they own horses and watching them compete. So I think Kentucky Downs has done a great job with that aspect of it. It hurts that the regular fans can't come out, but at least – if we're going to have a situation like this, let the owners enjoy it, let the family members and maybe some friends of the owners enjoy it. I think they've done a great job of that here.
Yeah, NYRA did a great job during Saratoga of that as well, as they changed the rules really 2 or 3 days into the meet, started allowing owners. And so, you know, it wasn't a big crowd. It was, you know, a few dozen people every day, but it put a little life into the building and, again, allowed them to enjoy the experience. And so that was nice. I think the same is going to happen down at Belmont. So I'm glad that some of the Kentucky tracks are doing the same thing as well, and other tracks following suit. But, boy, fans or no fans, I said at the top of the show, $17 million plus in handle as compared to the previous record of 11.3. So it's an over 50% jump in handle.
I mean, the thing about Kentucky Downs is obviously it's turf racing, which most people enjoy, if not more than dirt racing. I am definitely included in that number. It's a familiarity because you've got the New York riders. Yeah. You know, Jose and I rad, Tyler to an extent, you know, riding there. So there's that familiarity. You've got the familiarity with some of the trainers. Chad Brown even sent some horses here this year, and he's been successful, no shocker in that regard. And I just think, you know, it's a culmination of all those things, plus obviously the big fields, the wide open races. We had a lot of favorites win on Saturday. But you're going to get your 5, 6, 8, 10-to-1 horses that if you like them, you can really sink your teeth into them. I bet a lot of money this meet. I am sitting there. I can enjoy the races. I'm not working. And for me, I love the grass racing. I love the competition and the opportunity to score. So not a shocker to me that they're doing so well.
Yeah, people love the grass racing. No question about it. Big competitive fields down there. If you're right, you get paid. Because I think... up until yesterday, I said this at the start of the show, I thought the stakes races yesterday played out fairly formfully. I had all the winners somewhere in my mix. But earlier in the meet, boy, I have been really searching. But if you search right, you get paid. And part of that is the big competitive fields, the quirky course, and horses coming in from all over, including a lot of trainers who say, I have a dirt horse, but for $100,000, I'll give it a shot on the grass. So it makes the puzzle kind of interesting. And let's see if you can help us out again Tuesday now. This Sunday card has been postponed until Tuesday. The card stays intact. So let's try to give out some ideas for Tuesday. We'll start in the ninth race, which is the TVG worth $500,000, a mile and 5/16 on the grass. Nice little field of six in here. We have Theodora B. Is Theodora B, did she run? I didn't notice. Did she run yesterday? Will she go? Mississippi is in here for Grand Motion as well. and English Affair coming out of the win over at Ellis was also cross-centered yesterday, so that's one to check. But your thoughts in the TVG?
Yeah, I think this field remains intact, and I mean, it's a shocker they only got six in here. Mississippi looks like a deserving favorite off of her recent form, you know, the narrow loss to Sister Charlie, et cetera. But I really love English Affair. I love the way she ran last time at Ellis. I think Rusty Arnold has done an amazing job with her. She's got that long layoff line where she only ran once the entire 2019 campaign. She was good before that, but rarely do you see a six-year-old mare come back off of a layoff even better than before. And if you watch that race at Ellis on August the 2nd over a very boggy course, I mean, on a normal day, they probably wouldn't even have run over the turf that day, but it was Kentucky Downs preview day. They ran the races. They ran formfully. There were some very good performances, none better than English Affair, who won a drawing away by a length and a half over the very game she's on the warpath. And visually, the way she did it was extremely, extremely impressive. So I got a feeling, you know, by Tuesday, supposed to be nice weather Monday, nice weather Tuesday, but we're getting, I mean, just hammered with rain. Even today, Sunday, it's been raining, you know, hard all morning. So there should still be some giving the ground, which can only help English Affair. And it's kind of like that Zulu Alpha Arklo type of situation here, where Zulu Alpha is going to be the overwhelming favorite, and deservedly so. That's going to give us a much better opportunity at a price on English Affair. I think 3-1, 7-2 would be very fair.
Yeah, and I just double-checked. Both of those cross-centered horses will be going on Tuesday, didn't go yesterday. So let's turn the page now. Really interested to see where you go here in the Untappable. 10th race on Tuesday afternoon now. $400,000 up for grabs for two-year-old fillies. A field of 11 in here, all lightly raced. This is one of those skull busters down there that I think if you get it right, you may get paid. 6.5 furlongs on the turf in the 10th race, the Untappable. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, hopefully we can get that to that 11th, too. I just realized that's a stake as well. The 10th, you know, you got Wesley Ward in here. I mean, you have to use. I mean, even if you're trying to beat the favorites, I mean, he's just got horses more so this year than ever that just fit the Kentucky Downs races. And this Red Ghost, obviously won by 8 in an off-the-turf race at Saratoga. You probably got a pretty good line on this horse, Seth, but I look at the pedigree. I see Go Zapper, which is mostly dirt, but then I see the elusive quality mare on the bottom and obviously intended for turf in the debut. But I got a sneaky horse in here, a horse coming in from Ellis, Lady Edith. Again, very sorry for Tommy Drury to not be able to start Art Collector in the Kentucky Derby. What could have been, we'll never know. We'll have a better idea once they run the Preakness Stakes if he has an opportunity to go there. But this Lady Edith on debut in a 12-horse field at Ellis was bet down to 3-1, favoritism. So you know the horse was super live going into that race. Certainly ran to it, was an impressive winner. And if you look at the pedigree, you see Street Boss. Street Boss, you know, some turf influences there. And then on the dam side of the pedigree, that dam was actually a very successful Louisiana bred sprinter, made $320,000. So bred for the trip, I think we'll be able to handle a little bit of added distance in this race. 6-1, I believe, in the morning line with a very capable rider in Colby Hernandez. So if you're looking to think outside the Wesley Ward and these baby race box, then Lady Edith could get you paid there.
Very good. And yeah, we will take a look at the 11th in Music City. And while you were talking, I since it's called the Music City, I pulled up a map just to verify. What, Kentucky Downs, I'm looking at the map, what, 20 miles maybe from Nashville?
Well, I don't know how much you can see in the background behind me, but when I come to Kentucky Downs, which has been several years now, I used to do TV work here. I used to do fan development work here. Did the morning line here for several years. I always rent an Airbnb in East Nashville, which is roughly about 32 minutes. You jump on the expressway. It's all expressway. It's a mile and a half from there to Kentucky Downs. So this is one of my favorite 2 weeks of the year, being able to come to East Nashville, bet the races at Kentucky Downs, and enjoy the days in between. So I suggest that to anybody who's never done it before. Obviously, said times are different now. because of what's going on in the world. But in a normal year, this is a trip, if you're a racing fan, you certainly want to make.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, Pat, a commentator down at Fairgrounds, and so you're familiar with New Orleans. Compare the two. I've been to New Orleans. Thoroughly enjoyed that. How does New Orleans compare with Nashville?
Yeah, they're 1-1A, man, outside of Chicago, obviously. Is
the entry.
Yeah, I mean, because the food, the people, just, you know, the vibe, I guess, is the best way to put it. You know, New Orleans is a lot more grimy than Nashville, but, you know, Nashville's got its charm outside of Broadway. I love both cities, honestly.
Yeah, nice. All right, let's take a look at the Music City. $400,000 up for grabs for three-year-old fillies going 6.5 furlongs. Nice full field in here, guaranteed, with a also eligible list of four. Your thoughts on the Music City?
Yeah, Byron King does a great job doing the morning line at Kentucky Downs. That's certainly not an easy job. He's had very few misses, and I commend him for that. But there's no way the house horse is going to go off at 8-1. And I'm talking about Finite, owned by Winchell. They broke their maiden at Kentucky Downs in the third career start last year. She was one of the top contenders earlier this spring for the Kentucky Oaks. They regrouped after the Fairgrounds Oaks when she ran a disappointing fourth, and they've been pointing for this race at this track for these people ever since. Now, whether or not she wins, that remains to be seen, but you know Steve Asmussen's got her ready, and she's 8-1 in the morning line. You're not going to get anywhere close to that, but she could offer some value in the multi-race wagers with that morning line moving forward. I think she's the horse to beat. I mean, Enola Gay, I remember when she won at Keeneland. I picked her. I bet on her. She was hopeless at the 16th pole, and somehow she won. She fits pretty well in this race as well, although I think, like I said earlier, Finite probably will appreciate the distance a little bit more than her. And then, obviously, Kamari is going to get a big play in here. She scratched out of the older horse race yesterday against God Stormy to run in this race against the three-year-olds, and she certainly belongs for Wesley Ward and Irad Ortiz. She's got a serious late closing style. Watch the races early in the day. You know, the rails are down once again for Tuesday, but there's going to be some moisture in the course, and we really don't know how it's going to play. If it favors front runners, Finite certainly has a much better chance than Kamari, but if it's kind of that off-the-pace turf course, then you can't ignore that late run from Kamari. So I would say the winner would come from one of those two.
Sounds good. So again, today's card has been postponed until Tuesday, but it remains intact. So there are some ideas for that Tuesday card at Kentucky Downs. Joe, before we let you go, obviously haven't had a chance to talk to you since the Derby, but you were lucky enough to be able to be on site. Like I was lucky to be on site throughout the meet up at Saratoga without fans. Had the pleasure of you know, being able to be there every day, and hopefully we brought some of that to the viewers, and I know you were trying to do that as well. You guys did a great job. The morning shows leading into Oaks and Derby Day, that was a great job you folks did down there. But give us some of your thoughts. The Kentucky Oaks, we were waiting for that showdown between Gamine and Swiss Skydiver. I thought Swiss Skydiver was going by at the top of the stretch, but Brad Cox and She Dares the Devil gets it done for an upset there. And Authentic, I'll tell you, up in our neck of the woods, took a little of the air out of the balloon. Tis the Law ran a great race. Authentic just ran better. What were your thoughts on the weekend?
Well, I'll tell you what, starting with the Oaks, I really like She Dares the Devil. I'm kicking myself for not picking her on top. I did pick Swiss Skydiver, who didn't have a great week leading into the Oaks. I mean, she didn't look great on the track after that workout, but she did everything willingly, and a credit to the horse. She's got a huge heart. Kenny did a great job getting her to the race. She ran extremely well, as you saw. Great job by Brad Cox and Florent Giroux, the training job with the filly, putting her in races where she could be dominant, and then Florent putting her right on the hip of Gamine, who was never going 9 furlongs. That was one argument that I was right about leading up to the Kentucky Oaks against that field. So the result of that race was not surprising. I just wish I would have taken more advantage of it. And then the Derby, you know, when King Guillermo comes out and then Thousand Words come out, you almost have to re-handicap the race. And I still thought that Tis the Law would be able to wear down Authentic, but Authentic, you know, got a very comfortable lead, and all the credit to the horse, he really dug in. He won the race. Tisdalaw didn't lose the race. I don't care what anybody says about Tisdalaw not handling the track all that great. Authentic took it to him. Authentic beat him. And I thought it was a pretty good performance. There was a decent amount of people there for Derby, Seth. You know, not, you know, by comparison to some of the other days. So there was a decent amount of energy in the place, but obviously nowhere close to a May Derby. And hopefully we can get back to that this coming, 8 months from now. We'll have to wait and see, but certainly was different in a lot of ways, but certainly was a lot of fun and some great performances that weekend.
Yeah, no question about it. It was a big weekend all around. I mean, we had Woodward Day up in Saratoga, and kind of wrapped up, and we a bunch of us moved over into the press box to watch the Derby. I know there were Derby watch parties around town, obviously with all eyes on Tisdalaw, but as you say, I didn't think Tisdalaw ran a bad race. He ran great. It's just Authentic ran better. And again, you guys did a great job down there, given the circumstances for Derby and Oaks Week. So appreciate your work down there. And more importantly, appreciate the conversation this morning, taking a look at Kentucky Downs. Always like our conversation. And Joe, we will talk again.
Yep. Sounds good, Seth. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. You know, with the cancellation, I actually get to enjoy opening day of the NFL. So it kind of sort of didn't work out too poorly on this end. So looking forward to Tuesday and looking forward to enjoying the remainder of the day today.
There you go. Very good. Joe, thanks a lot. Joe Kristofek. Again, normally we talk to him with regard to Churchill Downs or a little fairgrounds at that time of year, but I know he's been handicapping Kentucky Downs, so we reached out to get a couple ideas for, again, what is now going to be the Tuesday card. Let me just hit you with a couple of notes before we wrap up. Breeders' Cup announced, you could see the other shoe was going to fall. Breeders' Cup announced that there will be no fans at the 2020 Breeders' Cup. But because of that, they have now announced the Breeders' Cup will return to Keeneland. Del Mar next year, it'll return to Keeneland in 2022, which is, I think, kind of the right move. It gives Keeneland the chance to host it with fans just a couple of years down the road. But no fans, they announced yesterday at Breeders' Cup Keeneland this year. Also, Tisdalaw settled in at Belmont Park. There was a press release sent out by our friend Keith McCalmont from NYRA yesterday. You can go to the NYRA website and pull up, click on the news link. And they're still kind of trying to figure out how he came out of the Derby and what's up next. So the Preakness is still under consideration. The other option, obviously, is to train up to the Breeders' Cup. And he does seem to like his races spaced out. So I could see the argument either way there. And also wanted to remind you, we talked a little bit about it last week, but again, a reminder, the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame has reopened with their renovation. They have the new film there. The film shows four times a day. I think it's 10, 12, 2, and 4. And what they're requesting is you go to the website and pre-buy your time period, which they're selling in two-hour increments, that surround the movie showing. So you can go and enjoy the museum and get a movie showing in. But with the limited number of people, again, they want you to kind of reserve your spot. So if you go to type National Museum of Racing into Google and you'll come to the website and you can reserve a spot. But they're open 9 to 5 every day. So just a reminder, right there on Union Avenue across the street from the track. I haven't been. I got to get up there. It looks like the newly renovated museum is really worth the trip. I will report when I do make my trip. Maybe this coming week. We'll see. But just wanted to alert you. They opened about a week or so ago after an extended period of renovation, which I think was going to be done much sooner, except the quarantine period hit, which I think slowed things down, maybe even stopped things for a period. But they did reopen last week. The new film, the renovation, National Museum of Racing, and Hall of Fame, Union Avenue in Saratoga, open every day from 9 to 5. Check out the website, as I say, to reserve your spot. All right, don't forget NFL Sunday today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. We'd love to see you down here to watch all the horse racing action, all the NFL action as well. Put your name on a square and maybe you can win a prize. It's always a lot of fun. NFL Sunday's kicking off today at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Don't forget, if you show up here, just a reminder, masks and social distancing. Once you get your seat, you can take your mask off. But as you walk around, if you go up to a self-serve machine or whatnot, got to put the mask back on. But same rules that are in place virtually everywhere currently, just to kind of keep us all safe. But you can come down to the race book and, as they say, enjoy racing and football action this afternoon. This afternoon, again, on the racing side of things, Woodbine Monmouth Gulfstream. And a little Will Rogers Downs with the switch up of Kentucky Downs. And again, I've said it about 20 times during the show, but if somebody just tuned in, Kentucky Downs today, because of the weather yesterday, as Joe just said, it is still coming down there. They decided, made the right move. They have postponed today's card until Tuesday, but the card stays intact. So if you printed up your PPs, you should still be good to go on Tuesday for Kentucky Downs, but no Kentucky Downs today. And again, just because of the calendar, no Southern California racing and no New York racing. They don't start up again. Weren't scheduled to start up for a while. Belmont kicks back in this coming Friday. And keep your eyes and ears open. If you're a Northern California fan, Golden Gate has canceled the last few days because of the wildfires out there. The air quality just wasn't good enough. So keep your eyes and ears open for that situation as well. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this Sunday edition of Racing Across America. Seth Merrill in the studio. Thanks to our guest, Joe Christofek, for jumping on this morning. Appreciate that. Thanks to you for tuning in. Be back in now, probably an hour and a half or so, for the Sunday afternoon edition of OTB Live. We will see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.